A successful radio host sits at her desk, staring at a blank screen. She has everything she needs, time, resources, a platform, yet nothing comes. Her creative well has run completely dry. The culprit isn't burnout or lack of talent. It's the device in her pocket, the one she checks 100 times a day, filling every crack in her schedule with scrolling, swiping, refreshing. When Manoush Zamarati recognized this pattern in 2015, she launched an experiment that would attract over 20,000 participants worldwide, all desperate to reclaim something they'd lost without realizing it, their ability to be bored. What emerged wasn't just a week-long digital detox, it was a wake-up call about what we're sacrificing in our race toward constant connectivity. We've developed an oddly intimate relationship with our devices. We dress them in expensive cases, keep them against our bodies, feel phantom vibrations when they're not even there. One person described their phone as a best friend who has all the best and worst qualities. Another compared his device to a baby's binky, a security object that soothes anxiety but creates troubling dependency. In Manhattan, 1/3 of pedestrians use phones while walking. At busy intersections, nearly half ignore red lights because they're distracted by screens. Our smartphones have colonized nearly every moment, waiting in line, riding elevators, even walking down the street, transforming potential thinking time into consumption time. Boredom has gotten a bad reputation. The word only appeared in English in 1853, yet the feeling haunted humanity as tedia in Latin, acedia, the noonday demon, plaguing medieval monks, and melancholia during the Renaissance. Today, we've declared war on it, arming ourselves with devices that promise to banish every idle moment. But neuroscience reveals we're fighting the wrong enemy. When your mind wanders, your brain activates the default mode network, processing autobiographical memory, enabling perspective taking, and facilitating deep self-reflection. While you appear to be staring blankly, your brain still consumes 95% of the energy it would during focused work, just directing it inward. Dr. Sandy Mann proved boredom's creative power through a simple experiment. Participants copied phone numbers from a directory before taking creativity tests. The more boring the preliminary task, the more original their ideas. Boredom creates a motivational push toward mental stimulation. When external input disappears, your brain starts making its own connections, linking disparate ideas in novel ways. J.R.R. Tolkien was bored marking exams when he scribbled, "In a hole in the ground, there lived a hobbit," on a blank page. That moment of tedium birthed an entire literary universe. The digital economy thrives on our compulsion to fill every moment. Tristan Harris, former Google design ethicist, describes the current business model as a race to the bottom of the brainstem. App designers weaponize our evolutionary wiring against us. Just as we evolved to crave calorie-dense foods for survival, we're hardwired to seek novel information, keeping us alive in our ancestral environment, but keeping us scrolling in the digital age. Mike Rosenwald, a Washington Post writer, found himself involuntarily skimming Lori Moore's short stories, his eyes jumping around, much like scrolling on Twitter or Facebook. When he polled friends, "Oh my God, this is totally my life." The irony? Only 30% finished his article about this crisis. Neuroscientist Marianne Wolfe explains that various aspects of the reading brain circuit are changing due to time online. Studies show screen readers perform worse on comprehension tests than print readers. The symptoms mirror ADHD so closely, some wonder if technology causes it. Gloria Mark's research reveals we now shift attention every 45 seconds online. When external interruptions decrease, we interrupt ourselves. Each interruption takes over 23 minutes to recover from. MIT professor Sherry Turkle discovered many people, especially younger generations, actively prefer texting to talking. The reason? Control. Conversation happens in real time, messy and unpredictable. Texting allows you to craft a curated self, revising until you sound perfect. Students now email professors rather than attend office hours, missing spontaneous exchanges where genuine learning happens. This capacity for sustained attention is becoming simultaneously more valuable and rare. Museums have become forests of raised phones as parents watch performances through screens. We believe we're preserving memories, but research suggests otherwise. Studies at Fairfield University revealed that participants who photographed museum objects remembered fewer details than those who simply observed. This photo-taking impairment effect occurs because our brains delegate memory formation to the camera, investing less effort in creating lasting neural connections. UCLA researcher Lauren Sherman discovered something more disturbing. When teenagers viewed photos with more likes, their nucleus accumbens showed increased activity, regardless of content. Most troubling was how teens deferred to peer opinion when evaluating their own photos, literally outsourcing their taste and judgment to the crowd. This extends beyond photography into how we experience life itself. Rather than being present, we mentally frame moments for social media, considering how they'll appear to others rather than how they feel to us. We're simultaneously participants and observers, never fully either. This dual consciousness affects both immediate experience and long-term memory encoding. We're creating a generation that remembers experiences through the lens of how they were shared rather than how they were lived. In 2004, Boston Consulting Group forced always-on consultants to completely disconnect one day per week. Despite initial panic, the results were remarkable. People reclaimed personal time, communication improved as teams covered for each other, and big-picture thinking flourished. The program, now called PTO, Predictability, Teaming, and Open Communications, has expanded globally, with participants 75% more likely to stay long-term. Europe has legislated digital boundaries. While the U.S. requires no paid vacation, EU countries mandate at least 4 weeks. Germany leads. Volkswagen shuts down email servers outside work hours, Daimler allows automatic deletion of vacation emails, and the Labor Ministry prohibits after-hours contact except emergencies. France passed a right to disconnect law, making it illegal for companies with 50-plus employees to email workers outside regular hours. Without such protections, Americans must personally manage boundaries, starting with recognizing that solitude isn't weakness, but essential to productivity and creativity. Mind wandering consumes up to 50% of our waking hours. Jonathan Smallwood's research shows this process is predominantly future-focused, helping us simulate scenarios and plan actions. Chade Meng Tan, Google's employee number 107, discovered meditation at 21 while struggling with unhappiness. His 2003 epiphany led him to develop Search Inside Yourself at Google, making mindfulness accessible by linking it to professional success. Tan distinguishes between focused attention meditation, calming through concentration, and open attention meditation, fostering creativity by observing thoughts without judgment. He plays Pokemon Go daily while avoiding junk surfing, mindless digital consumption. The currency of information is attention, he explains. Greg McKeown's essentialism philosophy offers practical focus. Create space to determine what's essential, eliminate everything else, and reallocate resources accordingly. His cornerly personal offsites enable deep reflection. McKeown emphasizes tiny changes and self-compassion. Enjoy the journey. Don't beat yourself up if you get caught up in the trivial many rather than the vital few. Florida teacher Joel Adams implemented the Bored and Brilliant Challenge with his high school class, improving students' eye contact and body language. At Camp Longacre in Pennsylvania, director Matt Smith tried an anything-goes gadget policy after a tech-free first week. Initial chaos erupted, but campers organically developed boundaries, limiting devices to quiet hours and establishing phone-free zones. Over 40% of teenagers never fully unplug, contributing to chronic sleep deprivation. Gaming expert Jane McGonigal advises never shaming children about gaming, as criticism reinforces escapism. Instead, engage genuinely by asking about gameplay strategies and helping kids connect in-game skills to real-world abilities like strategic thinking. Technology has advanced equality and global education, but cost us newspapers, privacy, and patience. Patience to develop brilliant ideas, read deeply, and truly listen. The Bored and Brilliant Project drew thousands who reported profound changes: easier schoolwork, completed manuscripts, less burnout. Though results seemed modest, 6 fewer minutes of phone use daily, 90% felt more confident controlling digital habits, and those reporting enough time to think doubled from 30% to 67%. The path forward isn't abandoning technology, but becoming intentional about its use. In a world monetizing every second of attention, boredom becomes resistance. Your next breakthrough won't arrive during endless scrolling. It will emerge when you let your mind wander into uncharted territory.